flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Live in Leesburg, Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're at the Green Tree Tavern. We're going to be out here until 6:30 when we head over to the Tally Ho Theater for tonight's big 106.7 The Fan live event. If you've got those tickets, I've talked to a lot of people out here who said, yeah, I tried to get tickets and I couldn't.
I get it.
They're a hot commodity. We are brought to you by the law firm of Cundori and Murad.
We love those guys. I want to remind you that as Washington continues to build that foundation on and off the field, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of the show, the law firm of Condore and Morad. It's going to help you update your last will and testament, revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorney today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
So I saw this story yesterday afternoon. I thought we should talk about it on the show. The NFL this season recorded its fewest number of concussions since it began tracking the data in 2015. The league announced yesterday that this was the best year in terms of concussion avoidance on record since they've been tracking this. A total number of 182 concussions during games and practices. That includes the preseason and the regular season. A 17% drop in concussion rate from 2023. Now, this is a big deal in my opinion, Danny.
Yep.
Because as you know, there are more concussions reported now than ever before. Like 10 years
ago,
out
for, yeah.
There were probably a million concussions we didn't know about. Nowadays, we are you're either being pulled off the field by an independent red hat who just says, you got hit in the head. I think you're concussed. And you're going, I'm fine, dude. He's going, nope, go back and get checked. So even by that standard of the number of guys that are self-reporting that are smarter about it now, or just individual non-team affiliated doctors that are pulling you off the field, we still are down 17%.
That's, which is remarkable. That is excellent. That is really, really good news. So, I don't mean to be flippant about these or trivialize them, right? I'm just trying to offer a way of example kind of to your point here. We've always been able to tell the difference between, I'm just picking on ones that we saw for our team. When Austin Eckler gets knocked out against Dallas, right, on the kickoff return, that's never required a red hat. That's never required any special intervention to figure anything out. That's always been normal. Not normal, but you know what I mean. That's always been something that we can see.
Although, if I could say this, so what you're referencing, for people that don't remember that concussion, he is out cold on the field.
Yes.
I hate to use this word, but he's lifeless.
Yeah.
And not moving. and he is unconscious momentarily. Clear concussion. And you would say, yeah, but that's always been the end of a player's day, and they're not going to keep playing. Incorrect. I can give you a specific example. I've talked to him about it. There is a video of Brian Mitchell getting hit so hard that same thing has happened to Austin Eckler, basically.
Yep.
He goes to the ground. He is knocked out cold. He plays again in that game. That was just how it used to go. So it is not true, in my opinion, to just say, oh, well, that one's obvious. Like, we've always known those. Yeah, we could tell, but we didn't have the same understanding of what concussions were. So, like, that didn't end players' games before. How crazy is that?
Very. But I guess in recent years, I'm going somewhere with this. In recent years, we've had that one filed away. We're good. We get what to do there, right? The new era is the Jalen Hurts concussion, where it took somebody going, the referee going, are you okay? Jalen Hurts says yes. I don't blame him. He's concussed. And an intervention happens, and he comes off the field, and he's now, you know, out and dealing with it for a little while. So that's the advancement to me. That's kind of your point about the new world order, the new way these guys are kind of doing things. And even with that increase in perception and detection, to be down that percentage is massive. And I guess ultimately the big picture is that now, okay, you know, wash your hands, job well done, or do you need more? Do you kind of keep swinging the pendulum in a certain direction? What's the deal?
So you look at the specifics of the information they provided, and one of the areas where there's been a lot of growth is the kickoff.
Yep.
Which should not surprise anybody. And we really haven't revisited the new kickoff since early in the year when people didn't like how it looked. I'd say it worked really, really well.
It worked.
Now, I was a proponent of it all along because I'm a big spring football guy, United Football League. Before that, the XFL, which is where this came from. But the concussion rate dropped by 43% on the league's newly designed kickoff, which should surprise nobody because it used to be that you're getting a head start from the 30 and you're colliding at the 15 at full speed and the other blockers are just kind of sitting ducks waiting flat-footed. Now you line up 5 yards apart and you come together. There's just not a lot of ramp-up time. You know, you think about it like a runway. The airplane can't get up to speed if it's a 10-foot runway.
Yeah.
So obviously the concussions are down, and that is certainly the case. 43% is what the league has said. Concussions are down on kickoffs, and that is despite the fact that returns are up massively, and I can give you those numbers as well. But the returns, more bountiful than we've had in years and years, concussions way down. So that's an example to me of where they got creative, they found a solution. I think it improved the football product, and it made players safer. Normally, players getting safer means the football product gets worse. I don't think that happened on the kick return.
Not on the kick return, no. It's still something that aesthetically I don't enjoy. I'll be fully transparent about it. I don't like it. But this is the argument that you and I, not the argument with each other, but we're sort of discussing in general with baseball and some of the rule changes and long-time traditions and things the way that they were done forever, is as long as I still get even a slightly watered-down version of the thing that I love, I'll take it. I understand that games change, that times change, that information changes, and, you know, everything evolves. If you look at the basketball in the 1950s, it's a two-handed set shot, and the idea that you shoot too far away from the hoop was a rogue idea, you know, and now the game is all threes. Everything changes. Games morph, and I understand that. They evolve. So I don't like the way it looks. I don't enjoy it. What I do like are kick returns. So if I've got to pay a price of a weird setup to get my kick return, I'll take it. Because I went from having none ever, ball booted out of the end zone, even squibs are going to bounce, the guy makes, I'm a little T, and you know, the play's over, and it's time for another commercial break, and we've got 6 consecutive minutes with no football happening. No to that. So the adjustment was needed. I'm glad they did it this way. So, you know, and again, I know Washington fans are kind of be like, you guys are talking about Austin Eckler's concussion. That happened on a kick return. But in general, the big picture, it is true, less dangerous, right? And I think you still get the thing that we all kind of wanted. That's a win for me for the league.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I think that's where they're going to try to be as often as possible. Because the game, I was watching one of these NFL Network, like, games. It wasn't that network, but, you know, where they rerun championship games of yesteryear, or they go back a decade ago or whatever. It's funny how recently the game is unrecognizable in terms of the moment you see a massive hit in the middle of the field, you're looking for a flag. The moment you see a big tackle, you're going, if it's loud, if it looks violent, you're looking for a penalty.
I mean, defenders now, as soon as the pass falls incomplete, what do?
Yeah.
They don't celebrate right away. They stand up and they turn 360. Is there any laundry on the field? That's probably not great, but it's the league now.
It is. And I think to an extent it's been necessary and it's worked. But here is my question. And I think we could pose this on the phones at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Where do you think the line is drawn by the league eventually, or is it? Like, is one concussion too many?
Mm.
Is that their idea that we're down 17%, that's a big win, but we need to be down 25%? And you deal with this in your own jobs, I'm sure, where it's like, hey, we hit our quota, but let's raise the quota, you know, whatever that is.
Yep.
I just wonder what their philosophy is. It is a violent game that players are opting into. I think mostly the changes that are being made are worthwhile and are good and don't affect the game negatively enough that you would say, that's not worth my viewing experience. But at some point, I think we all agree, there's information now given to the players they didn't used to have. Nobody's making you play. You opt into this. Like, where is the goal of what percentage is acceptable in this violent game, and when do you stop changing rules, tweaking rules, trying to take away from adding more penalties, more contact, being illegal? I don't have an answer. I'm just asking a question.
It is such a hard thing, too, because I'm making up a number. Forgive me. I'm talking out of my the backside here. But let's say I go, hey, there were 100 concussions in the league this year. That's really good. Let's not tweak any rules. Immediately, someone could go, you're okay with 100 people having brain damage? Oh, crap. No, I want zero. And then when I get down to zero, dude, it's not football anymore. There's a balancing act, to your point. There's always going to be a risk of injury in this 70 play per team car wreck that happens. I mean, it is one of the most violent games ever invented. And there are inevitable negative results from that, right? And I don't say that lightly. I mean, that is a thing. And these guys, to your point, opt in with eyes wide open for our entertainment and to enrich themselves and to play this game that they love so much. So, you know, like you could think again, to bring it to baseball, a guy getting hit by a pitch, breaking a hand, missing a season, maybe costing himself millions of dollars over the lifetime of his contract if it's at the wrong point in the arc of his career. Is one guy getting hit by a pitch too many? Is 1,000 guys getting hit too many? Where's the line go? This is a philosophical question you have to answer. I always think you try to do better without altering the fabric of the game that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that balancing act takes really smart people not making everybody happy.
Yeah.
So the play where a quarterback is sacked, but he's not sacked in a very peaceful way or something. You know, the momentum of a player lands on top of him, and that official can't wait to throw the flag. And not only is it not a sack, but it's 15 yards the other way, and it's really 25 yards the other way because the sack didn't go for -1. It was a 10-yard play that was colossal. But no. It happened in a way that we didn't like to protect the quarterback. It's just so frustrating. And yet, I understand the point behind it.
Well,
right?
I'm glad you brought up the quarterback part because I think that is one area where the league has lost their way a little bit, is any kind of contact around the quarterback is now Zapruder filmed. You know, right? Like any kind of contact. Here's the fix, I think, to that. The first thing they have to do, I think roughing the passer penalties have to be either allowed to be helped by the buzz from up top, like replay assist, which it sounds like they're thinking about, or it should be challengeable. I think a roughing the passer penalty, because here's why. We have now enough proof over a few years that officials cannot properly legislate this in real time. It's too hard. You can't really tell where did he hit him, where didn't he, did he get him in the face mask or not. The worst one, the dumbest one, did he land on him with all of his
body
weight?
It's the landing on. Oh, man.
When I see a legitimate form football tackle, clean, on time, of a quarterback, and it's a game changer. These penalties are so huge. They're auto firsts on third and long. They continue drives and get you points. They change outcomes sometimes on huge drives, starting a 2-minute drill from your shadow of your own goal line. I think that'd be one fix, is just at least making it reviewable. But to me, if we're going to put the kickoff in the category of win for the league, a lot of people didn't mind it. It actually enhanced the product in the sense that there were more returns and the game got safer. That's kind of the golden idea. The antithesis of that is whatever's going on with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say they're safer. I'm sure they are, actually.
Yeah,
because you can't touch them.
Well, yes, but remember, it was a couple years ago where it was the first round of the playoffs was everybody's backup.
Yeah.
And you're going, or whatever that time of the year was, we're going, look at what's happening in the league right now. Quarterbacks were healthier this year, by and large. And I think there's a rhyme or reason to that. The NFL wants that. They want the guy for the pregame intro, the story to be about the guy. As our boy Steve Zabin says, it's a TV show about quarterbacks. So I think they're getting what they want there. As much as fans gripe and grouse, nobody's turning the TV off. But there is an empirical right way to do it. When it comes to that, the thing I worry about with review, and again, you and me are just spitballing here. Hypothermically speaking, let's say I'm a defender and I'm rolling by, I'm not going to be able to get a full grasp of you, but maybe the football is a piece of candy. I can almost reach for it. But the guy's pushing me, and now I brush your helmet. Nothing's called, but you're the offensive team. You could motion to your head, tell your guy, throw the challenge flag because he touched my head. Not in a malicious way, not in a Reggie White head slap kind of way, but I made contact with your helmet.
So I
worry about that when we start applying replay to things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I always think about the downside.
I agree with that. I don't know that that's how it would work. I think, number one, there's a way to determine if it had anything to do with the actual play. I hesitate to put...
It'd have to be thoughtfully done.
I hesitate to put more, arbitrary decision-making on the plate of officials. But the other thing is, I think the way you would do it is... It's reviewable if called. You wouldn't be able to review that it happened when not called, which is how a lot of things work. You can't throw a challenge flag to say, that guy interfered with my receiver. No, sorry, I didn't call it. You throw a challenge flag, if we do it this way, after a penalty for PI to say it wasn't PI. So I don't think the offensive team would be able to challenge that I missed someone touching a face mask. Because that's not really part of how replay works now.
So you wouldn't want to be able to have a, hey, man, you drilled this guy out of bounds, roughing the passer or whatever.
That's a buzz from upstairs.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's you missed an egregious one.
And you used it that way, yeah.
You missed an egregious one.
No, I like that, man.
But how we do it now is, was the call wrong? It's not let's add calls that we missed. It's was the call wrong. Missed, to me, is more stomachable. I don't know if you agree with that. Then you got it wrong. Because miss just means football happened and the game was being played.
I actually tend to agree with that. The egregious one that wasn't, that gets called, that's the one that's hardest to deal with. A bang-bang play where it could go either way. Again, the perfect encapsulation of this to me, I know it's not quarterback, but is Saquon Barkley on the sideline with I believe it was Mikey Sammer still, right? Letter of the law probably, whether it's the right call or not, it was close enough. It could have gone either way. It stinks that it went against Washington. Really was a pivotal moment in the game that really cost him a lot. That one I don't need replay, right? That one's not one of those. But if it's he's in bounds by 5 yards and he knocks him out of bounds and they throw the flag, that's way more devastating than a bang-bang play that went against you, right? I think that makes sense. That's a good thesis.
If you guys want to hop in on our discussion here, you can. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Bill Belichick wants to rename the Lombardi Trophy. We'll explain next.